Well, I hate to see it come to a close. It's been wonderful. And the Lord's shown up in every service, every session, just been great. And I'm delighted, though, to have Dr. Mickey Carter, my dear friend from Haines City, Florida, preach the closing message. I don't know exactly how many years he's been preaching, but I know that he's been 50 years in one place as the pastor, and that's a monumental task. And I started preaching there for him back in the 80s. I don't know what year exactly. I know it was in the 80s. It might have been late 80s, mid 80s. I'm not sure, but I've been going there for a long time. And the one thing that I appreciate the longer I live is faithfulness, people that just don't change. And Brother Carter has stayed the same all these years. And if you hear some of his stories, he's got some stories. I won't try to tell them for him, but he's been a fighter through the years and taken some good stands, and the Lord's used that not only in his church but in the state of Florida to make a difference. And, you know, I'm a fortunate guy. Through the years, God given me the privilege of being close friends with a lot of my heroes. A lot of those guys are now gone. The Joe Boyds, the Jack Hiles, many, many others, Lee Robertson, Tom Malone. And I had the pleasure and the privilege to spend a lot of time with them. But I'm thankful that some of my heroes are still alive, like Mickey Carter and Bob Smith and John Paisley, men that have weathered the storm, stayed by the stuff, and I count it a real privilege to have Mickey Carter as a friend. He's a tremendous preacher, very good student of prophecy, somebody that's taken for a long time a strong, strong stand on the King James Bible and held the line. I love him. Thank God for him. My family's going to sing, and then Brother Carter will come preach a closing message.
Of praise I long to give. You got me on good. That's a victory right here to start with. What a blessing to hear the choral family sing. Bring back my memories of how small the girls were when we first came and got started. Now you got grandkids in the group singing. God's good. Somebody said, how'd you get so old? Well, I am old, I guess. 85, and I'll be 86 in August. Remember the date. Let me tell you how you get that way. Just keep hanging around. It'll happen to you. Amen. It just keeps creeping up. Well, I am appreciative of this meeting, Brother Angel. Been a blessing. Thank you for letting me preach, Brother Cole. Y'all just do a great job. And thank you for everything. And I'm glad I got my son driving me around. I want to tell you, at my age, you're thankful to anybody to drive you around. But then my pastor's here. Brother Parsons was up to pray a little bit earlier, and that's a blessing of God. A preacher worries about the beginning of things with him in his ministry, but then I find you also worry about how it's going to be concluded, how it's going to be finished up. And I am thankful for the transition we just went through. And Brother Parsons graduated our college, been on our staff for a good while. So he can't say that he was misled. He knows what we are. He's been through some of the battles with me. And so he's doing a great job. God's put his hand of blessing on it. And I'm thrilled about what God is doing. And I praise the Lord for it, and thankful for all the, some of you folks, I've been coming here often enough, I'm beginning to get to know some of your church, Brother Angel, and just appreciate them. They're here still doing the same job, doing the hard work, and the work that's behind the scenes, and we just praise the Lord for that very much. I'm going to ask you to cut me a little slack tonight. I'm going to the same chapter that Brother Evans was in a while ago, and maybe chapter 20, move on just a little bit, if you'll go with me to 1 Kings chapter 20. I want to speak to you on the subject tonight. It's not over yet. Some famous theologian named Yogi Berra, that was a baseball coach, not a coach, but a catcher, for the Yankees, I think, made that statement kind of real, Brother Gomez. And it's a good one for us to think on. Sometimes we think things are over when they're not. I think about the lady that her husband died. She gave him a nice funeral. She had a nice tombstone made, and carved on the tombstone, it said, "Rest in peace." And then the will was read. And she found out that he'd been having an affair with his secretary and left everything to her. She was mad. She went back to the funeral home and she said, "What can I do about this tombstone?" Said, "I don't like what's on it." They said, "Well, you'd have to pay for anything else. If you want a new tombstone, new one costs you again." She said, "I'm not spending any more of my money on that bum." But she said, "I'd like for you to do this." So they carved on the tombstone, "Rest in peace till we meet again." And, things are not always over when you think they are. You know? Yeah. Look with me in 1 Kings chapter 20. We'll start in verse 1, read 11 verses. I'll try to make a little sense. I'm going to take it a little bit out of context. I'm going to let you cut me some slack to make a spiritual application with it. "And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his host together. There were 32 kings with him and horses and chariots. And he went up and besieged Samaria and warred against it. And he sent messengers to Ahab, king of Israel, into the city, and said unto him, 'Thus saith Ben-Hadad, thy silver, thy gold is mine. Thy wives also, thy children, even the goodliest, are mine.' And the king of Israel answered and said, 'My lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine and all that I have.' And the messengers came again and said, 'Thus speaketh Ben-Hadad, saying, although I have sent unto thee, saying, thou shalt deliver me thy silver and thy gold and thy wives and thy children, yet I will send my servants unto thee tomorrow about this time, and they shall search thine house and the houses of thy servants, and it shall be whatsoever is pleasant in thine eyes, they shall put it in thy hand and take it away.' Then the king of Israel called all the elders of the land and said, 'Mark, I pray you, and see how this man seeketh mischief. For he sent unto me for my wives and my children and my silver and my gold, and I denied him not. And all the elders and all the people said unto him, hearken not unto him, nor consent. Wherefore he said unto the messengers of Ben-Hadad, tell my lord the king all that thou didst send for to thy servant at the first I will do. But this thing I may not do. And the messengers departed and brought him word again. And Ben-Hadad sent unto him and said, the gods do so unto me, and more also, if the dust of Samaria shall suffice for handfuls for all the people that follow me. Here's my text. And the king of Israel answered and said, tell him, let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that put it off. I want to say to these young people, we've had some great preaching. The young preachers have done wonderful in this meeting, as well as the old. Brother Dennis, what you preached the other night, I wish I could put it right up there in Washington, D.C. and make them listen to it. Amen. And, of course, what Brother Joe Gabaldi brought this morning was wonderful. I'm so glad I got to hear that, and I'm so glad my wife did not get to hear that. Amen. But it's been great. It's really been great. I want you to let me take a spiritual application of the text tonight. I'm saying to the young people, you've been seeing a lot of preachers that are girding on their harness. Now, as you listen to me tonight, I'm taking it off. I'm trying to get out of it a little bit, Brother Gomez. And I get a little sentimental about that. I've been fighting that for quite a bit here, not to do it. But it is precious to me that the same God that was with me in the beginning, I believe it's still with me in the end. You know? And it's easy to brag when you're dressing in the dressing room, putting your football uniform on. It won't be quite as good after you've been beat 30 to nothing and you're pulling off that uniform. You ever been there, some of you younger fellows? And there's a good spiritual point here. Even though it comes from a bad king, Ahab's not yet stolen Naboth's vineyard. God has not yet brought condemnation on him. But we know him, so we don't put much stock in him. But here's a case where Ahab answered right. and told him, you hadn't done it yet. Now, there's a deep principle here on this girding on your harness and taking your harness off. What it's really saying is something I learned as a kid. Don't count your chickens before they hatch. I mean, it may not turn out just like you think it will, or just like you brag that it will. Amen? And I think about this a little bit. I remember the early days of putting on my harness. I remember when I stood to preach one of my first sermons, scared to death. Remember that? Preacher said, I was a deacon then, youth leader. He said, you got to preach Sunday night. I'm going to be gone. Listen, I'd have rather got in the lion's den. I was scared. I remember that night so well. I went out before church started that night. And I got in one of the old wooden Sunday school buildings. And I prayed. I mean, I prayed. And I claimed the verse that night, Brother Green. Zechariah 4:6, the me part. It's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And for years and years, when I'd step up to preach, my opening prayer would end with that verse. Now, Lord, help me today. And it's not by might, not by power, but by your spirit. So, Father, in your name I trust, in your spirit I trust. And I'd ask for God's power. Truthfully, till this day, I don't publicly do it so much, once in a while. But I do it before I leave my office. Still do it. 50 years. Actually, 53 years. I pastored 3 years at the Gantt Lake Baptist Church in a little bit north Florida, compared to where I am now. And then 50 years, as Brother Dennis said, where I'm at now. But you know something, in all honesty, I know I need God as much tonight as I did on that first sermon. Truth. Truth, I feel that. I really do. You see, my wife says a time or two to me, are you in denial? She's talking about denying going old. You can't do what you think you can or used to do, you know. And, of course, she's right. And I say to her, no, I'm not. Once in a while, I'll be in the easy chair, you know. You know, that special chair. And she'll say, this needs done. I said, honey, this chair won't let me up. And she'll come up with that thing about, are you in denial? No, I'm not. Especially with all the aches and pains I wake up with every morning. I recognize, no, I can't deny it. It's here. There's no doubt about it. And especially when I start having these Joe Biden moments. That tells me something, amen? By the way, this is not going to be deep tonight. Nothing prophetical or necessarily shocking or new. But, you know, the Jewish rabbis put a lot of stock in what's in her name. They were real happy with Trump. This might shock you, but his name meant trumpet. The sound of the heralding of a trumpet. And the Jewish rabbis believed it was a heralding of good things. And they had some great ideas. They even minted a coin, you know that, concerning the temple. Believed that he was almost the return of Cyrus the Great. And they were disappointed as much as I was when he lost the election or got it stole from him. Take your pick. Anyway, Biden's name means something too. It's in your Bible. Do you ever read the book of Revelation where it says, Alas, Babylon? You know what the rabbis say? They say his name means something bad's coming. His name means, alas! Trouble's here. I think they're right. I think they're right. I know you got to be careful with saying stuff like that. I guess I'm on camera. You can get in trouble in certain places. One of the last times I flew an airplane, Brother Dennis, that tries your spirit anymore. But one of the last times we had to change planes, and I forget right where we were, but we had to change planes. And so we got to the gate, and they told us we were going to have to change gates because the plane we was on had flown into something. It had hit something. Now, we didn't know it had. But we had to wait a long time. We were getting kind of aggravated about it. Somebody kept asking, and they came out, and they said, "We don't know what we hit." And then I had to speak up. I shouldn't have. Lucky I got back on the plane, I reckon. I said, "Was Nancy Pelosi flying her broom in restricted places again?" You ought to have seen the expressions and the dead quiet that came on that. Finally, one guy sitting not far from me said, "You got to be careful." I understand. Different age, ain't no doubt about it. It's a different age. But I want to say this. We are in a warfare. You know that. The Christian life is a warfare, but now it's intensified. And evil days are here. And the devil is pulling strings and doing everything in the Antichrist kingdom. The system's here. We don't know who the man's going to be yet, but the system's ready for him. It is ready for him. And I'm not going to get into it very deep, but we know the 666 and the mark and all that. Do you know right now the Biden administration is trying to figure out how to verify that you've been vaccinated and maybe have it on your passport or something else that you can't even get on the airplane without proving you're vaccinated and all that? Now, I don't know about it. Personally, I'm just not going to do it, but you do what you want to. It might be the right thing for you to do. I don't know. But I kind of believe what Ronald Reagan said. He said, "The worst news, the scariest words in the American language is I'm from the government and I'm here to help you." He's right. Truth of the matter is, I just don't trust him too much. With all that said, the Antichrist kingdom is building. We see that. I'm not going to get on that. Brother Cord did such a great job with that the other night. But I want to just say this. It does look dark. It does look like they're gaining. It does look like they're having their way. It does look like things are going wrong. It does like the anti-God crowd is having their way. They think they're going to win. But I want to tell them it's not over yet. It's not over yet. And they can boast while they're putting on their armor. I want to say to them how it's going to turn out when God takes it off, brother. I'm going to say to you that it's not over till it's over. And it's not over yet. I want to tell you some reasons it's not over. It'll not be over till God's power is exhausted. Think about it. I've seen God's power before. I guess it was Brother Shepherd that said the other morning, his college taught him that when they crossed the Red Sea, it was a shallow place. You know, they all try to undo the miracles. I've read the same thing. I could tell you the commentary. I could tell you the Baptist group that printed the commentary. They said it wasn't the Red Sea, it was the Reed Sea. In the Reed Sea, the water was only so deep. And as Brother Shepherd said the other morning, God created a better miracle because he drowned it, all of Pharaoh and his chariots, in 6 inches of water. Really silly, really stupid. I don't know how Moses felt. I know how we'd have felt. If we were back there, we'd go as far as we could go. And I believe this. I believe Moses had to go up to the very edge of the Red Sea. I believe if he'd have stopped back here, it wouldn't have parted. He had to go as far as he could go, and then God took over. And then God opened the Red Sea. God's power showed up. And I want to say to you, it's not over until God's power is exhausted, until it's used up. And it's not used up. You know, Peter was found in jail in Acts chapter 12 over there. I've always kind of wondered about this. Peter was in chains between two guards, waiting to be executed. And the Bible says he was sleeping. Read it. He had peace in spite of it. And then, of course, we know the rest of the story, how that the Christians, the church, were praying, and they were praying and asking God to deliver Peter, and God did. He opened the gates on their own, and here he comes knocking on the door, and Rhoda comes to the door, and she runs back and tells the praying church, Peter's at the door. They said, oh, that couldn't be. I think about the church that had a bar built not too far from it. And they began to pray about it. They began to pray God would deal with that bar. Sure enough, the thing caught fire. And the owner of the bar took the church to court and sued them. Blamed them for it. And the judge said, I got a dilemma. Here the barkeep, the bartender, the bar owner says, you folks are responsible for the bar burning down because you prayed for it. And here's the church saying, no, it's not our fault. He said, what am I going to do? I got a bartender who believes in prayer and the church said, don't. Interesting, huh? I think we're like that sometimes. You know, the Bible talks about having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. I wonder if we haven't got some of that going on even in our midst today. No, Peter was delivered by the power of God. You know, I'm 50-plus years in one church, 3 years in the country church. By the way, in that little country church, I probably saw the power of God equal to or not greater than what I've seen. Now, I can tell you a lot of victories. Brother Dennis can tell you what we've seen happen in Haines City, ministry-wise. But far as knowing the Holy Spirit of God coming down and doing something very real and God only doing it, I'm not sure, but what I saw the greatest revival in a little country church where 150 people would bust the seams on the building. I saw a revival there, Brother Angel, where that if man got on the property, often he got saved before he got in the building. And there was hardly any that could get in the building and get out without getting saved. I even found teenagers after I was closing the doors. I mean, after 10 o'clock at night and souls had been saved. And I went in to close the door and I closed the door and the teenager was hiding behind it crying. And I said, what in the world? He said, I got to get saved too. I mean, the power of God just was there. It was so real. And it's not over till the power of God's used up. And it's not going to be used up. Oh, you know, I've seen some times where I'm at, precious times, and sometimes just unusual things. I remember a family that came to our church, and good-looking kids and wife, and they were just faithful, and they joined the church. But when they did that, the husband was off on his truck driving week, and when he got home, he got mad. And we got a call at the church office. Actually, it came into the school office first. They were on the same building at the time. And it was a wife that called and said, my husband's coming down there to get the preacher. He's mad. He believes that every preacher's only wanting money and women. And he's coming after the preacher. I want to call and warn y'all, he's on the way. And so the ladies in the school office called, and it happened to be that my secretary or whatever, she was gone for a few weeks or whatever. My wife was substitute in the office of my secretary. Well, they all said, we're going to call the police. I said, no, don't call the police. What? My wife said, she came to the, she said, we ought to call the police. He's coming. I said, no, honey, let's trust God. I said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to sit right here in your office and look just as pretty as you always look. And when this man comes in, I want you to smile at him and say, oh, yes, I'm Miss Carter. I'm the preacher's wife, and he'll be glad to see you. He's right on the other side of the door. And bring him in. Well, he come in, and my wife, I still say she's prettier, but she was very pretty then. And I knew what he was going to see first. He was going to see her. His mind is going to do what most men's mind would do. This preacher ain't looking for nobody else. And I prayed. I said, Lord, I can't handle this big guy. I need your help. He come in, and so help me, I can remember it to this day. As he walked in the door, I could see his complexion change. I could just, his whole attitude change. Power of God hit him. He didn't hardly say much anything. I said, no, I'm glad to meet you. You got a beautiful family, and I've been wanting to invite you to church. And I said, I wonder, would you let me tell you how to be saved? He said, I'm not interested. I said, well, let me just tell you how, and in case you ever get interested, you'll know. He sat down in the chair from my desk, and Brother Gomez, I just went down the Roman road, but the power of God come in. Power of God come in and got right down to asking him to pray. And he said, no, and he wanted to get up and leave. So I let him leave. I didn't pray with him. I mean, he got up and left. Sunday morning came. His family always sat down front. Sunday morning came and I preached and they were sitting down front. And I saw this big guy, as the service started, come in the back and sit on the back row. First time his family seen him was when he walked the aisle. He got saved. I baptized him. I'll tell you, the power of God's still around. I mean, listen, there's a crowd out there bragging and boasting what they're going to do to us. But listen, the game's not over yet. It's not over yet. It will not be over until God's power is exhausted. Oh, you know, I praise God for that. I know some of you think, well, I could pastor 2 in 50 years if everything went so good and so smooth and, you know, never had any problems. Well, I could tell you some stories. Sure could. Oh, not too many years ago. I don't know. I wouldn't try to put a number of years on it, but not so long ago. We had a bad thing happen connected with our Christian school. Christian school had a really good, clean record. No scandals. Over 40 years. And then we had an employee hired. In a secretarial type position, I guess you'd say, for about close to a year. The first inkling I had of it, I'd already gotten home that day about 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and I got a phone call and the sheriff's department called. I knew them very well, and they said, Preacher, we're sorry to tell you this, but we're up here arresting one of your secretaries. Brother, do you understand she'd done a terrible immoral thing and got rightfully arrested for it? You know what happens in public schools and other places? This thing goes on all the time. Even the sheriff said that to me. But boy, did the papers jump on it. Boy, did the reporters come out. Boy, did the TV cameras come out. Christian school. Scandal. Sadly, we lost a lot of students. We lost down really bad. The rumor began to go around. The school's going to close. It's over. Landmark's in trouble. All that kind of talk. And I prayed and I asked God. I said, Lord, I had some teachers that hadn't been with us a long time, and they began to call other places hunting jobs. Other preachers out of state even began to call me, Brother Angel. Asked me, are y'all closing down? I said, well, why would you think that? Well, so-and-so applied for a job and said, y'all not going to be able to meet the payroll. I said, no, we're not closing down. By the grace of God, I didn't fire anybody. Nobody missed a paycheck. But we did go down. I remember walking to our cafeteria, Brother Gomez, you can imagine this, that had been stuffed full of students. And walking in there and just seeing a skeleton of them. Looking at my workers in the cafeteria, knowing their job depended on students out there. And they never said anything. I never said anything to them. I said, just keep going. Just trust God. Just keep going. I never dismissed anybody. Now, it wasn't because we had a fat bank account to back us up. It was just that God began to provide. And if I could have time to tell you the many ways, you'd know the power of God is very, very real. It's not over until His power is used up. It's not over until God's promises are fulfilled. You see, in this text here, Ahab is riding high, but it's not to his credit. He's riding high on a promise God made a long time ago to a fellow named Abraham, that his seed would be like the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky. You see, old Ben-Hadad was out of Syria. Now, I'm not going to get into prophecy, but some of y'all want to know something about the Antichrist. You better look at the word Assyrian in the Bible, in the Old Testament, a synonym for the Antichrist. You'll find out Ben-Hadad here had the same thing in mind that the Antichrist has for the future of Israel, and that's to annihilate them. It's been tried before. Hitler tried it, but it didn't work. But the Antichrist is building his plan right now, and truthfully, with the last election, Israel's got a lot to fear. The whole thing changed with what Trump did in recognizing the Jerusalem as the center and the capital and moving the American embassy and all of that business. All that was positive. It's not positive anymore. But I want to say to you, the reason Ahab had God take care of him in this particular situation was because he was cashing in on God's promise of security. Because Ben-Hadad wanted to wipe out the Jews. He was out of Syria. He intended to take the whole thing. But God had other plans. You know, oftentimes we probably all benefit riding on the promise God made somebody else. Think about it, young people. You may be getting by without God dealing with you too severely because a promise He made to your parents. Think about it. Maybe they dedicated you to the Lord and they're praying for you all the time and you're wondering where God is. I done this and lightning didn't hit me. I smoked this. I drank this. I done this. Where's God? He's honoring a promise to mom and dad. It's not over till God's promises are fulfilled. Not over till they're fulfilled. Or we could go down the line on those. You know, here's a snapshot with Ben-Hadad of the Antichrist. And God didn't let him annihilate the Jews. And maybe he's kept you, young person, because of a promise. Maybe it's not a mom or dad. It might even be a grandparent. Y'all all probably heard the story told Joe Henry Hankins. He was the preacher there in Atlanta, man of smaller stature. But he tells a story, country setting, how that whatever was going on, flu, pneumonia, whatever, his brother Charlie was in a coma, you know. And he tells a story how that one morning, his dad told him, said, go tell your mama, Charlie's dead. And doctor had been out and gone, but dad said, Charlie's dead. Joe Henry said, I knew where mama was. She was out in the woodshed, out in the barn, in her favorite prayer spot. And he said, Daddy, I don't want to tell her. He said, go tell her, Charlie's dead. So he said, I went out there and I found Mama and I said, Mama, Daddy said, tell you, Charlie's dead. He said, she jumped up like a sergeant and she said, no, he's not. No, he's not. No, he's not. God promised he'd make a preacher out of him. He's not dead. The story goes, Joe Henry said, Mama walked in that room and said, Charlie. And Charlie said, yes, Mom. Old Joe Henry Hankins was quite a preacher. You read stories about him. Little guy. One I liked one time was he was debating. Big, tall, liberal preacher. And was getting the best of him. And the tall man lost his cool and kind of ran over and looked down at Joe Henry. And he said,
You little squirt, I could swallow you. Joe Henry said, yeah, big boy, if you did, you'd have more brains in your stomach than you do in your head. I want to tell you something. God's going to fulfill his promises. He's going to fulfill his promises. You know, I'm glad it's not over yet. You know, it's not over because God's power is not exhausted. It's not over till his last promise is fulfilled. And it's not over till God's provisions run out. I know I haven't got to read your book yet, but I saw the front of it, Brother Coyle, All the Fears. Boy, have we been subjected to the fears. Book of Hebrews chapter 2, I guess it is over there, warns about how man fears in bondage to the fear of death. We've seen that. We have really, really seen that. Folks are fearing so many things today. It's sad. They're fearing the COVID thing. And all that business that's, the part is, folks, America surrendered to freedoms. Surrendered what our forefathers paid for. And I made some folks mad at me. I mean, I just didn't shut down. And I sent a message to the head authorities, if you want to pack out your jails, I'll be in the pulpit. And by the grace of God, they didn't. In fact, one of them called me. I mean, called me within, he hardly got the letter. He called me back and said, preacher, nobody's coming after you, and we're on your side, and we're pulling for you. Police came by and came in the office, and I wasn't there. Thankfully, I wasn't there. And the secretary, very plain, they asked her, is Landmark staying open? She said, the preacher says we're not closing. That he don't have the authority to close God's house. So, policeman smiled and said, I'm a Christian too. Y'all be careful. That's God. That's God. It's not over yet. It's not over yet. Amen. Till God's provisions run out. He's going to take care. He's going to supply all of our riches according to the Lord Jesus Christ. All that we need. You know, the Green New Deal business, oh, it makes me sick to... I can't hardly watch it anymore. Miss Cortez, 12 years, all our everything. You know, we're going to starve to death. No, God's provisions are not going to run out. She's a nut and a half. You could put her brain in a mosquito and it'd fly backwards. Amen? Yeah. And yet, she scares people. Crazy. Green New Deal. In fact, I think if she'd nail her tongue to a post and walk off, I'd be happy. But anyway, we need to believe God instead of this crowd. You know that? Think about it. Well, the world's getting warmer. Global warming. It wasn't so warm out there today. That sure wasn't Florida weather I left, I'll tell you that. By the way, who are we going to believe? You know what God said in Genesis chapter 8? You know what he said? Seed time and harvest. Hot and cold. Day and night. I'm going to believe him. He said, while the world remaineth seed time and harvest. While the world remaineth day and night. Yes, he's in charge. I'm going to believe him. Amen? But you know, we got to be aware of this tactic of fear. God may have let the COVID thing come, and the devil so use it to sift the church a little bit. I was disappointed with some of my members that caved in. I really was. I was also surprised, happily surprised, for some that took a stand. It was the making of some, the breaking of others. I saw that when I was visiting over in Russia. You were talking about riding them trains and all that business over there. You know what some of them Russian preachers told us? They'd been in jail a long time for just preaching. They said, you will be surprised when the persecution comes in your congregation. Who'll stand and who won't? Some little taste of that in this COVID thing. Some little taste of that. Really has happened. But you know what? The church is going to survive. It's not over yet. There's a promise in Ephesians 3:21. I'll receive glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That's this age too. The church is going to survive. And while the fake media and the COVID and all that business teamed up together and it's hurt the world so bad, hurt the church so bad, and preachers have had to pay a price, and I feel for them, at the same time, the church is going to survive. It's not over yet. It's not over. We've already heard it preached here, and I'll not say much about it again. Say, what's the answer? Trust God. Amen. Believe God. Amen. Stick with the stuff, as somebody's already said. Sure. Trust God. You know, it's not over till God's provisions run out. And they're not going to run out. It's not over till His final purpose is achieved. You know, conference has been a blessing to me. Not only the preaching, but the songs, the music. We enjoyed the song the other day, and I know we've all heard it, but sometimes we just clang and don't think of the deepness of the words, the meaning of the words. Then cometh the morning. Then cometh the morning. It's coming. It's not over. We're winners, not losers. Why don't we quit acting like losers? We got a bunch of losers out there acting like winners. We winners act like losers sometimes. Oh, how we need to watch it, folks. God's got a purpose. He'll achieve that purpose. The morning's coming. Oh, Satan thought he won once before, but he was wrong. There's a little old verse kind of hidden over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. I don't know, somewhere in the back of my head, years ago, I wondered why the devil didn't know the resurrection was coming, that he was going to lose. I thought about that as a younger Christian, and if you want to see a verse, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It'll answer that question for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And, of course, the Apostle Paul is talking to them here. And he's talking to them about how the wisdom of this world is not the answer, or the wisdom of the princes of this world that comes to naught. And he says in verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now here's the verse. Listen to it. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You say Satan thought he won on the cross? I think he thought he did. But it wasn't over yet. The morning came. Amen. It wasn't over. Amen. Oh, yes. The princes and the wisdom of this world was wrong. There still are. Let's don't be buffaloed by them. Let's don't give up because they scare us. I know what it is. We all have our fears. And my fears now might be a little bit different than what they were when I started pastoring 53 years ago, you know. Yeah, I was scared at the first sermon. And to some degree, I've been scared of my own self. Not the outside enemy, but often my own self. Wanting to stay true and right with God. But you know, it's a different kind of fear as you get a little bit older. Have any of you folks noticed how much harder it is to do the things you used to take for granted? Maybe just getting out of the chair, opening the car door, or in some cases, buttoning your collar. Just the little things that you never even had to think about before. I'd still get down and get up if I've dropped something. I get down there and pick it up, but while I'm down there, I look around to see if anything else needs to be picked up. I don't want to waste a trip. I ain't got too many trips left. You know what I'm talking about? So my fears change a little bit. I have to be honest. I say, Lord, I've had some good preachers, even in my church in the latter years. Good, honorable men. Good men that I used to, everybody used to, I call some of the names, you'd recognize them. But I watched them fade. Sometimes they knew they were fading. Sometimes they didn't. And it's the saddest thing to me. A man that preached the Word of God on fire and could quote the whole Bible, and all of a sudden, he's Joe Biden all the time. He can't get it right. It breaks my heart to see that. It breaks my heart to see that. And I guess if I got one fear riding above any others, it's that one. Now, I know you're my friends, and it's like my deacons. I told them here, just not too long ago, 3-4 years maybe. I said, now, fellas, I just had a preacher fade out like that, and it was on my heart. And so I told them, I said, men, I want you to be honest with me. And when you see me start slipping, don't try to hide it. Don't try to cover it up. Tell me. And then I got to thinking. And I looked at him. I said, wait a minute. You're just about as old as I am. I don't know whether I trust you or not. You might be fading out. The truth of the matter is, that is a real fear. Real fear of mine to some degree, no doubt. I guess I thought about it too much. Prayed about it. Lord, don't let me get up and bumble and fool around and waste time. And just let me know when to be smart enough to quit. God's blessed me to have a good man step up and take my place. And I'm real proud of that. I'm real proud of that. And there'll be a few of my friends will keep wanting to hear me once in a while. But when it gets to where they're just doing it for charity, I rather wouldn't do it, you know. Because there'll be that time, and all of us have seen this happen. I've seen some preachers just lose it. I know a preacher that started, he lost it so bad, he started counting his fingers. And the whole congregation just praying for him and weeping. He lost it. I don't want to go that far, Brother Gomez. I don't. So I do have some anxiety about that, because I know it can happen to you pretty quick at my age. It could happen pretty quick. Sure it could. And then God just kind of woke me up. this week, just a few days ago, he said, let me give you a verse. And I got to thinking about that verse. That verse was actually one of the first verses I ever preached. First chapter I ever preached. It was Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not over yet. It's not over yet. Not over. I want to say to you right now, it don't have to be over with you tonight. If you're here and you've slipped back on God, it don't have to be over. You can come back. If you're here tonight and you've never received Christ and you've heard over and over how he loved you and died for you and paid the price for you, and you've been in a church service and yet you haven't come and received Christ, it's not over yet. You've got another chance tonight. You can come right now and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I want to tell you, you can get on the winning side tonight. you can receive Christ, and the good news is he'll receive you. Yes, whosoever will may come. And whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out, he said. He won't turn you down. Don't turn him down tonight. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Tonight, would you look deep in your heart and say, I guess maybe I just gave up, but truth is, it's not over yet. It's not over yet. Men, if you're going through a struggle in your ministry, it's not over yet. God's power is not exhausted. He's still got some promises he wants to keep for you. He's got some provisions to give you no matter what. And if you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ, it don't have to be over with you tonight. You can come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Leave this place knowing that if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven. I want to ask Pastor to come. I pray tonight, as he gives you a call, come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ.
Are you here tonight? You're not sure that you're on your way to heaven when you die. That's, think about it. To be anybody here, member, visitor, would say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. I'd love to pray for you. Pastor Carter just pled with you to come and be saved tonight. Anyone here say, Pastor Angel, I'm not saved. All right, at least I'm not sure I'm saved. Can I see your hand? I don't know if I died right now that I'd go to heaven. Don't know it for sure. Anybody? Anybody like that in the room? Don't be bashful if that's you. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask Naomi to begin to play. And it's not over yet. Are you a Jeroboam? Are you standing in somebody's way, hindering them from doing the will of God? I know everybody answers for their own decisions, but influences can be a major, major issue. Major issue. It's not over.